Now let's turn to the book of 2 Peter, and then shortly, real quickly, we're going to go over to the book of Genesis, but I want to pull out just a verse of scripture in 2 Peter, chapter number 2. Now I have, in my personal studies, I've been going through the Bible, and I've been looking at some of the great men of the Bible. And I've as I'm reading about some of these great men of the Bible, I'm paying a special attention to anything that relates to missions, that relates to evangelism, and looking for applications concerning missions and evangelism. Now, the Bible is a missionary book. The Bible is a missionary book, and you'll find missions all through the Bible. You'll find missions. Missions is not a New Testament thing. You'll find it all throughout the Bible, and we're going to see some of that today. But if we look at 2 Peter chapter 2, looking at verse 5, we read, "And separated not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." And so here we meet Noah, and we find out that he was a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness. And so, one, we know that he was righteous, we know that he was a preacher. Now, there is only one way to become righteous in the sight of God. And God's plan of salvation has not changed. It has not changed. And so there's only one way to become righteous in the sight of God, and that way is through Jesus Christ, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And God's plan has never changed one iota from the beginning to the end. The Bible is pointing forward to the time when Christ would come and that Christ would die for our sins. And so it's by the blood that we are saved, through the faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And Noah understood something about this, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But he was a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness. And so we see that Noah, as we think of Noah, and we think of all that he did to build the ark, let's keep in mind that not only was he building the ark, he was also preaching. He was also preaching. And so we have two questions then. As I was reading this and thinking about Noah, I had two questions that came to mind. The first is, what did he preach? And then the second is, what was the results of his preaching? What was the results of his preaching? So let's look just real quickly at what he preached. Now, the Bible, the passage plainly tells us that he was a preacher of righteousness. As we've already said, there's only one way to become righteous in the sight of God, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. The only difference is the Old Testament saints, they were trusting God by faith that Messiah would someday come and take away for the sins of the world. So they were looking by faith to the fact that Messiah was coming. Today, in our day and time today, we are looking back to the fact that Messiah did come, and our faith is based in the fact that he did come. So it's always the faith has always been in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that has never changed one iota. Now, as we study the passages concerning Noah, let's turn back real quickly to Genesis. What did he preach? What did he preach? Well, we don't have a recorded message in the Bible that he preached. You have close to 2,000 years of history from the time of creation to the flood, and it's only covered in just a few short chapters of the Bible. And so there's a lot that we just don't know about this time period. There's a lot we don't know about this time period. But I would say, we can look at his life and see what his life exemplifies. And the preacher and his life, they should match. And if they don't, that's a problem. And so we can look at his life and see what his life exemplifies. And we could also look at the circumstances that surround his life. Specifically, the judgment, the coming judgment that surrounded his life, the coming judgment that God had promised. Let's read, if you would, in Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. We read that the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so you see a contrast here, right here in the Bible. One, you see God's judgment, God's hands of judgment on one hand. On hand two, you see God's grace, His grace. And I can see Noah, righteous Noah, standing up before the men, standing up before the people of his generation, as possibly his sons building the ark in the background. I can see him preaching the coming judgment of God on sin. See, there's always been a coming judgment of God on sin from the very beginning, and it hasn't changed. And it hasn't changed. The judgment of God over sin. God is a righteous God who desires man to come to Him in repentance and faith in this blood of Jesus Christ. And so we see that he preached the righteousness of God. He preached the righteousness of God found in our passage here. And we need to keep in mind that as we study the life of Noah, and we study about the Noah's Ark and that coming judgment, God had been warning people for some time.
Amen. Amen.
He had been warning people for some time about His coming judgment. Noah was one of these men who were warning others of the coming judgment of God. But you know, Noah wasn't the only one during this time period, during this 2,000 years of warning. You see, we also read about Enoch. Let's jump over and look about Enoch. Look at Enoch. Jump over to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Enoch. See, Enoch was also a preacher. So you have Noah preaching to his generation the coming judgment of God. And we also see something about the grace of God in his life. And so he's preaching these things and so on and so forth. But you know, Enoch was also a man who was a preacher as well. Let's look at the passages concerning Enoch. Enoch, Genesis chapter 5, looking at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after, note this word after, after he begot Methuselah 300 years, and he begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And so we notice here an interesting thing that I've noticed reading this, was it wasn't until after Methuselah was born that Enoch began to walk with God. Look at it again, verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. Now, what happened to cause him to suddenly start walking with God after the birth of his son, Methuselah? Well, Hebrew scholars, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, I will tell you that Methuselah's name carries with it the idea of a coming judgment. Your names in the Bible mean something. They carry with them meaning. And his name means a coming, carries with it the idea of a coming judgment. And even more, not only does it mean that there's a coming judgment, it carries with it the idea of after me judgment. Literally, it means after me judgment. To put it in good English, that means when I die, there will be judgment. So, something happened in the life of Enoch, and that caused him to begin to walk after God, and he named his son Coming Judgment. Now, furthermore, it's interesting that if you were to do the math, you would find out that Enoch died the year the flood came. The very year the flood came, Enoch died. Now, Again, you have close to 2,000 years of history covered in just a few chapters of Bible. And so everything that God did, everything that God revealed to man is just not recorded in the Bible. It's just we have a kind of a summary of what happened during that 2,000 years. But it would appear that God somehow revealed to Enoch that when his son dies, judgment is coming. And it caused him to walk with God. It caused him to walk with God. The Bible plainly says, and he walked with God. And in verse 24, we read that not only did he walk with God, he had such a close walk with God that he didn't experience a physical death, but God just took him. He was one of only two people that God did this. God took him in verse 24. But what I'm getting at is that even during this time period, there were preachers, there were people warning. Enoch was one. Methuselah's name stood as a symbol of God's coming judgment. Noah was one of those such preachers. The Bible plainly says he was a preacher of righteousness. So they're warning others. They were missionaries of their day. They were missionaries of their day, warning others of coming judgment. And what do we do today? What is our message? Well, our message is that of grace. Our message is that of a coming judgment. Our message is not any different than the message of Noah, than the message of Enoch. There is only but one plan of salvation that has never changed throughout history. And if that is true, then the same grace that saved Noah saves you and I today. The same faith and the same blood that saved us today saved Noah and his day. And so the same message that he was preaching is the same message that you and I preach today. God was using these men to try to reach others. And so what did he preach? Well, he preached the same thing that we preach today. He preached the same thing that we preach today. What did Noah preach? The same thing we preach today. What did Enoch preach? The same thing we preach today. There's no difference. There's no difference in the message. He preached the same message that you and I preach today. Coming judgment, the grace of God. The grace of God. As we go to Siberia, we preach the same message. The same message that he preached. We begin in Genesis 1:1. We begin there because there's so much confusion with atheism, so much confusion with the humanism, there's so much confusion with the Orthodox Church. And we begin with Genesis 1:1. And from that we know that God is the Creator. That God is the Creator. Well, wait a minute, if God is the Creator, then where did life come from? It didn't come from a big bang. It came from God. Right. It came from God. And if God is the creator, he's also the life giver. Furthermore, if God is the creator, then he has a right to determine what is right and what is wrong, what is sin and what is righteousness. It's not church tradition. It's what God said. You see, it's not the Communist Party. It's what God said, and so on and so forth. And so we begin to build that foundation. Now, what did man do? Man sinned against God, and so we move over to the Adam and Eve. And one time I was preaching on the subject of Adam and Eve, and I taught them how that man sinned and how that sin brought about separation between man and God, and so on and so forth. And then I wanted to tell them that God, I intended to say that God still loved Adam, and he still loved Eve. Now, what I said was that God, instead of saying God loved Adam and Eve, I said God murdered Adam and Eve. And so, these mistakes sometimes happen when you're preaching. So Those happen. And if you're not making mistakes, you're not learning language. You're not studying language. You need to just leave the field. So we would make some mistakes. But fortunately, the kids understood what I was trying to say, and they got a good kick out of it. And still today, sometimes they'll say, "Oh, remember the time when you said God murdered Adam and Eve?" And I say, "Yeah, I remember that time." It happens. But the truth of the matter is that sin of Adam and Eve caused a division between man and God. Now, we said first and foremost that God, first of all, that God was the creator and that God gave life. Now, what happens if we become separated from the one who gives life? Then we die. If God is the source of all life and we're separated from that source, the result is death. The result is death. And one time I was did a whole series on this subject, and at the beginning of the series I brought a twig off of a tree that was still green and had leaves, and I slid that up in the front of the classroom, and I just left it there, and I asked the class the question, is this twig, is it dead or is it alive? And some of the kids said, "Oh, it's dead." Some of the kids said, "No, it's alive, it's still green." See, became separated from its source of life. And I just left it there for a few weeks, and we come back and we look at that twig and that twig and that branch, and it would wilt and it would die, and eventually it not only was dead in that it was separated from the tree, but it was dead in that it looked dead. You know, and so we taught on this subject of death and how that separation brings about death into our lives. Into the lives of man. And so what we need is to be reconciled unto God. Now, I didn't use the word reconciliation. But what we need to do is to be reconciled unto God. We need to be brought back into the right relationship with God. And that's made possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we begin teaching on faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. We begin teaching on the grace of God and what Jesus Christ did for us and on the cross, and how He bled and died and suffered every bit of hell that you and I deserve. Our message hasn't changed that much from that of Noah. Our message hasn't changed that much from that of Enoch and those other great men of God of old. The message has never changed. And so we've been preaching the same message now for some 6,000 years. And there are some that come to God in repentance and faith. And there are some that reject the message. And the same way that there were some that rejected the message in the day of Noah, there are some that reject the message today. But our job is to be faithful and preach the message that God has given us, to perform the ministry that He has given us to the best of our abilities. So what did He preach? The same thing we preach today. What was the result of His preaching? What was the result of Noah's preaching? 8 people got on board the ark. 7, Noah and his 3 sons and their 3 wives and his wife. And 8 people got on board the ark. He had a church of 8 people. In today's day and time, and a lot of groups and a lot of people around the world and the nations and a lot of churches, they would view that as a very unsuccessful ministry. Now, was it an unsuccessful ministry? How would history play out had those 8 people not got on board the ark? What if just one of his sons and one family, one son and daughter, did not get on the ark? Well, a whole continent of races, of people would not exist today. It was an important ministry. You see, so oftentimes we don't see everything that God's doing. And we don't understand everything that God's doing in other people's lives. That's not our job. Our job is to be faithful. Amen. So oftentimes, especially when you're dealing with young people, you don't see the results oftentimes until much later in that young person's life. Sometimes it's not until he becomes an adult that you begin to see the results of your faithful teaching him in Sunday school. Not always, but sometimes. Sometimes we don't always see everything that God is doing, but that's not our job. Our job is to be faithful.
Amen.
Our job is to just faithfully plug along and move along and do what God has directed each and every person to do. And God does have a plan and a ministry and a work that He wants each person in this room to be involved in. And let's be careful not to look at results the way that the world would look at results. But let's look at results the way God looks at results. God wants us to be faithful because we don't know what God's doing. We don't know what God's plan is. And so our job is to just be faithful to the calling of God. You see, we need to seek. We need to seek to be like Noah. To preach salvation by faith through grace, the blood of Jesus, by grace through faith, the blood of Jesus Christ in Christ, and Christ alone, to be like Him, to preach those things. But may we also just be faithful to fulfill the work that God has put us in. And may our lives glorify God. See, if our lives are living to glorify God, then we will be soul winners, but we'll do so in a righteous manner. We'll do so in accordance to God's plan. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.